Now he could see the balconies with their waist-high railings. There was no need of the binoculars. The air was preternaturally clear. He put the distance remaining at no more than 5 miles, perhaps only 3. Level after level rose before his not-quite-disbelieving eye. Just shy of this hill's top, with the crumbling rock pyramid 20 paces ahead of them on the right, Roland stopped, bent, and set the handles of the cart on the road for the last time. Every nerve in his body spoke of danger. "Patrick, hop down." Patrick did so, looking anxiously into Roland's face and hooting. The gunslinger shook his head. "I can't say why just yet, only it's not safe." The voices sang in a great chorus, but the air around them was still. Not a bird soared overhead or sang in the distance. The wandering herds of bannock had all been left behind. A breeze soughed around them, and the grasses rippled. The roses nodded their wild heads. The two of them walked on together, and as they did, Roland felt a timid touch against the side of his two-fingered right hand. He looked at Patrick. The mute boy looked anxiously back, trying to smile. Roland took his hand, and they crested the hill in that fashion. Below them was a great blanket of red that stretched to the horizon in every direction. The road cut through it, a dusty white line, perfectly straight and perhaps 12 feet wide. In the middle of the rose field stood the sooty, dark, gray tower, just as it had stood in his dreams. Its windows gleamed in the sun. Here the road split and made a perfect white circle around the tower's base to continue on the other side, in a direction Roland believed was now dead east, instead of south by east. Another road ran off at right angles to the tower road, to the north and south, if he was right in believing that the points of the compass had been re-established.